about time for us to begin. So for this class, we're going to start talking about sin, how we handle sin, our views of sin, how we think about it. And if you know me, I usually have a story, so I'm going to start this off with a story about my uncle. My uncle lived in the panhandle of Texas near Amarillo in a small town called Adrian, and he was a cow person. I mean, he knew cows. He was a cowboy. I mean, he got on a horse at 5 and in the morning, and he was on the horse all day and doctoring, you know, in the middle of the field and everything. And he got to be known among his neighbors about someone he had called if he had a problem with a cow. So one day his neighbor called him about a cow that was sick, and my uncle looks at it and says, well, the cow's stumbling around. It's got lead poisoning. And the man's like, we live in the middle of nowhere. How does the cow get lead poisoning? He goes, I don't know. You know, maybe someone threw a battery out a long time ago or whatever, but the cow's got lead poisoning. So my uncle went home. A couple days later, the neighbor called and said, hey, the vet came out and that cow had rabies. And I was like, no, the cow had lead poisoning. And he goes, no, the vet said rabies. And I was like, well, was the cow alive or dead? Well, it was dead. So he didn't see it when it was alive? No. Did he send the head off to be analyzed? He said no. He said the cow didn't have rabies. The cow had lead poisoning. And the guy's like, no, Don, we got to get vaccinated for rabies. My uncle's like, if the cow had rabies, I'd get, you know, the shots. But the cow had lead poisoning. I'm not doing it. But then the neighbor begged him, and he said, you know, if you start showing signs of rabies, you're dead. There's nothing you can do. And so the neighbor called my other uncle, who lived in Clovis, New Mexico, and said, you've got to do something. So, of course, that uncle called the other uncle and begged him. That didn't work. So the neighbor called my dad in Giddings, Texas, who called his brother in, you know, the Amarillo area. And he begged him, and he said, if the cow had rabies, I'd have got a shot. But the cow had lead poisoning. So there's a real funny conclusion. The cow had lead poisoning. But we can talk about that later if you want to. We'll hear the funny conclusion, because there's always a funny conclusion. But the thought of this is, did the neighbor show love toward my uncle? How do we know that he showed love to my uncle? He had concern, right? And now, how much concern did he have? Did he, hey, you know, you might want to, maybe I get some shots. Yeah, in multiple ways, right? He wanted good things for my uncle, right? Who was his neighbor. And so, why did he do that? Why did he make that much effort? Love, but what's the physical thing that he was fighting against? Rabies, right? He knew this was life or death. And he's like, you know, we can't play around with this. This leads to death. We can't play. You've got to do this. You know, in the begging. Just please get the shots. Maybe we're wrong, but get the shots. Get the shot. Of course, my uncle. I know it's hard to believe that Rhodes is stubborn. I mean, malleable thing. But he wouldn't. And, you know, thankfully he was right. But so when we look at this, when we look at rabies, is sin worse than rabies? Yeah. How and why? How do we know that? It leads to death. It leads to eternal death. Spiritual death. What did Zeke say about the punishment? Everlasting punishment. So it's not something, you know, it's like, well, when you die, it's done, you know. Physically, okay, you're done, you know. It's not something we look forward to sometimes because it's an unknown and everything. We think we have things to do, like go on a vacation and read. We're on the same page on that. Everybody else is like, wow, you're exciting people. Wow, your wife is a lucky woman. Wow. Yeah, honey, let's go to a romantic getaway. I'm bringing the Kindle full. And so, but it's exciting. Yeah. But, we have to look at sin that way. And I think the problem that we have with sin in our lives is we're not afraid of it, right? I have to deal with electrical systems sometimes, and I don't want to be shocked, right? I'm against that, you know. And sometimes we deal with like 480 volts and stuff, which is, you know, dangerous. And So do you think that I trust that the maintenance people have turned off the power to the panel? You think I walk up there and start working with wires? No, it's silly. If you ever watch me trying to work on electrical panels, because I check it and I check it and I check it and I check it and I check with the meter and I check with the meter, and then I still don't try to touch bare wires. I've checked it. I've locked it out. There's a lock to prevent someone from switching the power on, and still I don't touch it. You know why? Because I hate being shocked, and I don't want to die. And so, you know, I treat it with respect. Now, what happens? Do you think I am more careful than electricians are? Yes, why? Right. When you're around something all the time, the fear is left. Have you ever heard of the Steelwalkers? You know, the Native American tribe that built the very tall buildings? Very fascinating story. The problem is a lot of them died. What they found out is that they could work for 90 days and they had to take 2 weeks off, if I remember the numbers. And then, because after 90 days they got so careless, they would fall to their death. This was before, you know, rigging and harnesses and everything, building the skyscrapers and in these large cities. They got too comfortable. You know, you don't make a mistake as an electrician. Electricians don't die in the first 90 days. It's after they've been there a few years. We get less careful. So with sin, is it around us all the time? We see people sin, and sometimes we don't see, you know, lightning come down, they're dead, and, you know, it would be kind of nice sometimes we would see that, because it'd be like, okay, this is serious. But we need to think about that. So what verses do you think about when we look at sin, the consequences of sin, the seriousness of sin? So I will start with, let's turn to Luke 13:3. And this is Jesus saying, "No, I tell you that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So what is the cure for sin? Repentance, right? And when we look at the big picture, what is the cure for sin? Christ's sacrifice, the blood of Jesus. That's the ultimate. And to receive that gift, repentance is part of that, right? So what does repentance entail? What does repentance mean? Change. Does it also have an emotional component, do you think? What is that emotional component that when we approach repentance? Remorse. Sorrow. Right. And so, I don't know about you, but everything comes back to kids because you don't have teenagers. And, you know, you can tell sometimes that they're like, "I'm in trouble. Dad's going to talk until I say I'm sorry." So they go, "Sorry." And you can tell they're saying sorry just so you'll be quiet. I know your kids would never do that. But they're just saying sorry just so you will be quiet. We can continue on and life goes on. Is that repentance? No. You think Zane stopped talking when that happened? No, we continue to discuss. But repentance has an element of remorse, right? Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we were covering today, our lives reflect on whom? God, on Jesus, right? We say Christian. We put this title on. And so we have to think about that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, hopefully we kind of have that one memorized, but turn there anyway. Mr. Hamm, would you read that? Romans 6:23. Thank you. The wages of sin is death. What does that mean? Quit before payday. That's very ingenious. Yes. I like that. Quit before payday. If you sin, what do you earn? Death. Right? When you work for your secular job, you expect to be paid, right? Well, when we sin, we should expect to be paid, and that payment is death. Have you ever saved someone's life? Yeah, the firemen are like, duh. Yeah. You know, I think a firefighting situation or the paramedic situation, you know, if you do CPR correctly, I understand there's a chance for a broken rib or something, right? Is that true? Cracked rib, you know. Does that sound fun to have a cracked rib? No. The people who've had it are like, that's not fun. Don't laugh when you have a cracked rib. It's not a good day, right? So, why would you crack someone's rib? If there's a chance, shouldn't you not do that? They're saving your life. It's like, let's do a cost-benefit analysis here. Do you want to be dead? Or do you want to have a cracked rib? Right? A rib will heal. Death don't heal. Yeah. So, you have to look at it that way. And so, when it's a life and death situation, we understand it's a life or death situation. We do things that in normal circumstances would be completely unacceptable because of the magnitude and concern about the person's physical well-being, right? And, you know, you can say it's the fireman's job or the paramedic's job, but I don't think the good firefighters or paramedics are doing it because, well, I'm going to get paid this week. I got to do this. They're there to help. They do this to help. They do it because they want to. There has to be an element of love. You have to love your fellow people in order to be effective at that, I think. Obviously, I haven't been a paramedic or a firefighter, but that's part of it. You wouldn't put yourself in those situations if you didn't have a love. And I think that love all Christians should have. What other verses do you think about when you think about sin? Right. Yeah, you look up David, man after God's own heart, the sin with Bathsheba, the sin of that had consequences to the child, it had consequences to the family. And there is an impact in this world of sin, right? Sin is bad. It's bad because it goes against God, and that is sufficient. But it also, sin has physical consequences often, right? There's not a sin without earthly consequences. I don't know of one, right? There's not something you can do that's bad, you know, that doesn't have physical consequences too. A very important thought. Let's go to 2 Peter. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's go to 1 John 1. Right. This is very important, right? Have you ever read, there's the Robert F. Turner biography, What It Is Preaching. You should read it. It's quite hilarious. But, he was kind of very interesting guy. And he was in town for something. There's a guy in the town square and he's preaching and he's like, the man's like, I haven't sinned in, you know, 17 years, 4 months, 3 days and all this. And Mr. Turner goes up to him and goes, huh. He quotes this verse. He said, you have no sin, the truth is not in you. He said, then I had to leave, because if he had accosted me like he was planning on, that would have been sin too. I didn't want to ruin his record. But it is a very funny book if you want to read it. It is pretty short. But anyway, so this is the way we have to deal with sin is first understand we all struggle against it. Right? And that's an important thing. Why is that important? Misery loves company. There is some truth to that, right? You know? Why else do we... I'm sorry? Right, that you have to admit there's a problem. And so, when we approach someone else about sin, we have to remember what about us? That we struggle against sin also. And so this changes our attitude. A lot of people don't want to talk to Christians is because, well, they're so high and mighty, they come and swoop down and, you know, like they're, you know, never had to deal with this. And then when those type people sin and it's caught, you know, everybody's like, ha, ha, ha. But if you approach someone as a fellow struggler, a fellow soldier, a fellow person who's doing and struggling against the same things you are, we have a different attitude. And that attitude is very important, the way we approach sin. Right. It's very important that we remember that, and I'm speaking for everybody can hear it, but that, you know, we have to be prepared. We have to be alert. We have to be concerned so that we don't fall into sin. You know, once saved, always saved isn't true. And so, we need to be thinking about these things and be prepared against them, because if you're not prepared for them, then they can catch you unaware. Why do you do defensive driving? Some of you do offensive driving. Don't say you don't. But why should we do defensive driving? Other people don't know how to drive. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have to be aware. We have to understand the problems that can come up, and we should be wise that we've got to be alert. We've got to think about that. It's very important. Shannon, do you have another comment? Right. So yeah, Revelation 3, the church in Sardis had a reputation, a good reputation, but in light, inside they were dead. So is that us? That's the, you know, the Matthew 7:21 and following, you know, didn't we say to you, Lord, Lord, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You know, didn't we do many mighty works? Oh yeah. You still didn't do the will of my Father. So that's something to be very concerned about.
The remedy for sin only comes from God. In other words, the idea that, you know, Paul says in Romans 3 that all have sinned, fall short of the glory, and then pull the blood up in 1 John 1:8. You know, if we say we don't have any sin, then we're just kidding ourselves. You know, the realization that we can't do anything in and of ourselves to have it go away means that we've got to be relying on God for that to happen. But God gives us the opportunity for us to realize it in ourselves and to know that we have a choice. You know, first in James 1 and verse 13, James says, you know, don't blame God. And then sometimes we blame the devil, right? Well, the devil made me do it. James says no. He says in verse 14, each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. We wouldn't sin unless there's something in us that really wants to do it. And that's when it needs to be nipped in the bud. You know, repentance is good, but that's where after that. You know, there's a prevention that we do.
Right. And so, sin comes because we're enticed, right? We're kind of lured away. And then that can lead to sin, which leads to death. And so, it's a very important thing. When we were teaching Elizabeth to drive, you know, she's kind of a regimented and, well, they're supposed to do this. And I'm like, yes, they are supposed to do this. But it's better not to be in a crash, even if you're right. True? It's better not to crash. It is better. I don't care if you're right. You were going the speed limit. The four-way stop, you had the right to go. The light was green. I don't care. Let's not get into a crash. Cars can usually be fixed, but it would be better not to have to fix it. And that's the way it is with our lives. It is better not to sin so that we do not have to rely. We rely on the blood of Jesus because we deal with sin. But let's not, you know, take advantage of that, you know, Romans 6:1. You know, should we sin more so grace may abound? We're going to sin a lot so that blood of Jesus is really working in me. Good idea? No. God forbid is what Paul says. So very, very good stuff. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Jason Mock, would you read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9? All right, so I'll have to admit, when I came across this verse in preparing for this class, it struck me. It's a pretty powerful, you know, warning against sin. You know, we think of angels, right? Powerful. Now, we got to make sure we have a biblical view of angels. Now, angels can disguise themselves, obviously, but when Joshua saw the angel of the Lord, what did he do? Fell down, right? Terrified. When we see an angel as a messenger of God, it's not, oh, it's cute, you know, no. It's terrifying to see the might and majesty of God, even though it's not God, but the created being, but still, that would be very terrifying, I think. So when we think of angels, we think of these, you know, all-powerful, you know, heavenly beings that are made by God, that live with God, all of that. And yet, if they sin, what does this say that God did? Cast them out. It's like, hey, we do not tolerate sin, even if you are a heavenly being, and if you are an angel, even you're literally the messenger of God, no, we're not gonna do that. I am not gonna tolerate that, and he is not going to spare the angels. Then it goes to Noah. What was the lesson from Noah? Not that Noah built an ark or something. No, what's the get right with God, and if you don't, there are consequences to sin. Studying with a young man one time, and he said, I have some questions, because we did, you know, the intro, Bible, and everything. He said, what's the deal with Lot, his wife, and what's the deal with Noah? How do those fit? You know, so, you know, how does Noah and the ark, how does that fit in the story of God and him bringing back his people? He doesn't tolerate sin. Sin has consequences. Yeah, we think it's graded on a curve, right? I know they don't do that anymore because for some reason it's illegal, but it's like, hey, it doesn't matter if I pass. You know, originally it matters as I'm better than Zeke. No, we're good. No. but we think that, right? That's the way we work as people. It's always relative to one another, right? We want to challenge ourselves. And so Shannon's right. It wasn't that, you know, if you were in the top 10% of the ancient world that you were fine. God just saved eight. And the rest were destroyed, right? He saved eight. And there's a lot of great symbolism that they saved through water. You know, we go to 1 Peter 3:21. It's a beautiful, but the thought is, what we should learn is, God doesn't excuse sin. Sin is deadly. Sin is deadly. God did not spare all of those people. Did God love every single person that perished in the flood? Yes, he made them. Have you ever tried to not like someone that you know a lot about? It's hard to do. And what I mean is if you really learn about someone and know about them and you know their story and you know their dreams and their hopes, no matter how bad they are, there's a part of you that loves them, I think. And that's one of the ways we can deal with people that we struggle with, especially here. Learn more about them. But God knew everything about them and still did not spare them. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? It was destroyed. Destroyed. How many people were saved from it? Three. God tried four, but she looked back, right? Right, yeah. Yeah, Abraham, yeah, negotiate with God. If you save the whole city, if you do five, if ten, you know. Yeah. But yeah, we trying to do this, but Sodom and Gomorrah does not exist because they were stuck in sin, right? And as, you know, I've heard many people say, why didn't Lot move? But anyway, I think there might have been some wisdom to that. So in the conclusion of this section of scripture in verse 9, what will God do with the godly? In verse 9. Rescue them. Deliver them from trials. Yes. It will be rescued. What will he do with the ungodly? Punishment. Okay. Is there any halfway between categories here? Is there semi-godly? Is there mostly godly? And I think that's the hardest thing to get, right? The more imaginative, the more we think about it, the more we like to think in shades of gray, right? I don't know why we, as people, maybe you don't, but most of us struggle with, well, you know, there's sin, and then there's not, you know, I mean, it's not good. You know, we have euphemisms, right? Euphemisms are things that you say so you don't say what you're really thinking, right? They are no longer with us, right? You say that, they're dead, right? We don't like to say what we're really thinking, right? And so, is sin easy to identify? Most of the time it really is, right? It's like, we know it's wrong, but we try to make excuses, or at least I do. I struggle with that, right? Well, it was a mistake. It was an oopsie. It was not, oh, they didn't mean it. I didn't mean it, you know. And when we really think of sin, we need to remember again the consequences of sin, that God does not overlook sin. And that would make sense. We shouldn't overlook sin. How would you like if your doctor overlooked cancer? Could you imagine being a doctor and having to tell someone they have cancer? I have a friend who's an oncologist. And he does that. He's a great man. Very nice guy. And I think he is very good at it. But he has to tell people, you got cancer. It looks good, it looks bad, whatever. He's got to tell them. You think that makes people happy? Think anybody is ever happy if they say they have cancer? But if you love them, are you going to tell them? And that's why we need to look at sin the way God looks at sin. It's a very, very horrible business. And so the problem with sin, and I think sometimes we compare, you know, the New Testament and the Old Testament, we go, you know, look at all the sacrifices. Now we have Jesus, and we read Hebrews, and it's beautiful because they sacrifice continually, and Jesus was sacrificed once for all. But sometimes I think we get the wrong impression of what happened in the Old Testament. The linen robes, the white robes of the priest, and we think of the white, you know, temple and the altar and all that. In 2 Chronicles 7:4, Solomon offered 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. How white were the robes of the priest at that? Imagine the smell of the burnt offering smell. When you took a lamb to slaughter or to sacrifice, put in a headlock, you look in their eyes and you slit their throat. And the reason you're doing that is because you've sinned. This lamb who could feed the family, could do all these other things, but you're sacrificing the life of this lamb, your best lamb, because of sin. Sin is a bloody, horrible mess. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, which we haven't seen with our own eyes, we think we're removed from that blood sometimes. We're removed from the filth. We're removed from the anguish and the pain that sin causes, and sometimes that causes us to underestimate sin. And so what I want us to talk about next time is how do we approach others that are caught up in sin? Knowing that we are struggling with the same struggles, but how do you biblically, how do you lovingly, how do you with wisdom, how do you with compassion, how do you do that? How do we talk to someone? And we got a lot of reasons not to. It's going to break a rib. It can crack a rib. It can do this. It can lose friends and all that. But I had an attorney in Wyoming, and he was a bicyclist, right? And he was riding this road, you know, 100-mile road trip thing, and he had a bad crash, and it punctured a lung. And the paramedics get there, and he's got this big syringe, and he's like, okay, we've got to put this into your chest to relieve the pressure, otherwise you're going to die. Is that okay, Mr. Walker? And he goes, no. He goes, thank you for your permission, Mr. Walker. And he said, it hurt, but he would have died otherwise. But he said, they asked an attorney. And I said, no. And he said, but they had to do it. Are we going to be that type of person that says, this isn't pleasant, I don't like any minute of it, but I love you more than I love our friendship. I love you more than, you know, the easygoing life that I would like to have. I love you so much that nothing is going to prevent me from, in all with love and wisdom and compassion, trying to help you through this difficult time that's called sin. So, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, 1 Corinthians 5. We're going to talk about all these other things. But think about that. How do we do that? with wisdom, right? Hopefully as we grow older, we learn more, we get better, you know, but this is important business. And we can't pretend that sin doesn't exist, because when we do that, we don't get it fixed. You can pretend you don't have cancer. That doesn't work. You can pretend you don't have an illness that needs to be treated. That doesn't work. And so let's think about those things and how we do that. And so together, let's figure out how we'll work together on that, and we'll talk more about that next time. Thank you.